Somebody reminded me of a parable this week about some blind men who were surrounded an elephant. I'm sure some of you have heard this story. One of the blind men grabbed the ear and described the elephant from grabbing the ear. Another one grabbed the tail and described the elephant from the feel of the tail, and so forth. Today, many of God's people, well, most of us, are still seeing through that glass, not quite clearly. We're still groping around somewhat in some darkness. And all of us are beginning to have our eyes unveiled to see the truth. And some of us are like the blind man when Jesus healed his eyes and he said, I see men as trees walking. We're beginning to see some things as the Lord removes the veils from our eyes. But I'm seeing it from my perspective. I'm seeing it from my experiences in the Lord. And they're not quite the same as yours. And we are all around the same elephant, all touching different aspects of the kingdom of God, and we're all expressing what we see, feel, and know to be the truth according to how God is revealing himself to us, or as an individual, to me. And many times it is seemingly opposite than what he's saying to someone over here. And I am longing for the day that God's people will drop the sword and begin to realize that all of us are reaching for the same goal. All of us are climbing a mountain. And some of us are climbing that mountain at different places and areas. And some of us have more rocky ground than others. But I'll tell you what, when you get to the top of that mountain, there is only one there. And that is Jesus Christ and his body. We are not a bunch of individuals in the kingdom of God. We are individuals, but we are a corporate body. There is only, as I've been sharing somewhat this weekend, there are only two men on this earth, and they're both a corporate body. And you are expressing one of those men on the earth. And one of those men is the natural man, the carnal man, the human identity man. And the deception here, if you could call it that, is that many of us who are living out of this human reasoning and carnal mentality are very religious and we love God. And we're seeking the things of God, yet we're still natural. And we're still very religious, and we're still trying to please God out of this human mentality. And that's what is known as the Adamic man. That's what is known as the man who is living by the knowledge of good and evil. You know, if you're good, it's easy in the natural, it's easy if you're good to feel that you have peace with God, that you're accepted by God, and that God loves you. But if you're living from the human religious mentality, and you're trying to please God and you fail, and you're not able to overcome your habits, then you feel some rejection and condemnation from God. That's what I'm calling the human, the Adamic race, whether you're good or evil. That's one man on the earth today. That's a corporate man living from the realm of the human reasoning and human understanding, seeing themselves as separate from God. Now, on the other hand, we have the seed of Christ on the earth, and that is the body of Christ. That is the one new man that Ephesians talks about. Now, if you begin to have a revelation that you are that seed on the earth, that you are a new creation man, and you begin to focus your attention on that man, then you will begin to live in a brand new way. You will begin to live a life that is not ever having to discern the difference between good and evil or what you should or shouldn't do. You are simply one who lives in the presence of God and you just flow in His life. That becomes the city of God and the New Jerusalem in Revelation. Now the other man, the corporate human man, whether he be good or not, whether he's born again or not, if he's living from that human consciousness, discerning good from evil and living his life according to good and evil, that man becomes Mystery Babylon in Revelation. And Babylon simply means confusion. The most confused people on the earth are God's people, religious people who have been born again yet have not learned how to live outside of this human reasoning. Very, very confused. It's what James calls the double-souled person. One of the greatest discoveries that I made experientially was when I began to experience the new creation man. When I began to discover that when I was regenerated, I wasn't just given some kind of a new life and a new energy and a new power to live by God, but actually what happened was when I was regenerated, there was a brand new man awakened on the inside of me. And that man has his will, his mind, and his emotion. And that man is made in the image of God. Do you remember in the beginning it says in Genesis that man was made in God's image? And then what happened was that Adam was lowered into the flesh, and then it is said that Adam had children after his image. If you are living from this human mentality, you have simply been one who has entered into this life and are living from the Adamic consciousness, or the Adam mind, or the natural mind. And most have still not discovered the truth of the verse that says the natural man, the natural mind, the carnal mentality cannot receive the things of God. Absolutely impossible. We haven't really understood that because we keep trying to understand with the natural mind. We go to Bible school and try to intellectually learn and understand the things of God. Now, don't misunderstand me. There's nothing wrong with Bible school. But as William Law said many hundreds of years ago, you cannot go to Bible school to learn how to put off Adam and put on Christ. It doesn't come through intellectual learning. We could go to Bible school from the time we're born till we die and still be a natural person. Love God, of course. Do the best you can, of course. But see, there's another man on the inside of you. There's a new creation on the inside of you. And that's that person that 1 John talks about. He that is born of God does not commit sin, neither indeed can he, because he is born of God. And you need a revelation to understand that that's talking about you. Not talking about who you think you are, but talking about the real you on the inside of you. You are a spiritual being and have been quickened or regenerated, and you are now in the very likeness and image of God. Not someday, but today. That's why Paul said things like, you are complete in Him. And people today are having a problem with that, seeing the reality of those words of being complete in Him. Why? Because they're looking at the flesh. And the only way you can progress spiritually is to look away from the flesh. Because the more you look at your human condition, the more you will fall in despair. Unless you're a good person and have a strong self-will, and then you become a self-righteous Pharisee. This has nothing whatever to do with the natural man, the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is about a spiritual man, a new creation man that has been birthed in your consciousness. And because we are not taught as young Christians to learn to follow that sense of his anointing that's within us, we get distracted by following religious teachings and traditions. You see, the moment you begin to go to teachers to try to learn how to be spiritual, you don't understand that you are spiritual, that you have already been made spiritual, that you are complete in him. Paul also told the Ephesians, he said that you, the church, are the fullness of him who fills everything, everywhere with himself. Is that your experience? Probably not. And that's our problem, because we look at our experience rather than simply believe in the truth. Paul said something very interesting in, I don't know for sure if I can quote it, so I'll look it up, in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 4. I've often said this is the only spiritual warfare that you need to be concerned about. The only thing you really need. If you really want to learn spiritual warfare, you need to absolutely have these verses get inside of you and begin to operate in you. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. And I'll tell you, there is a lot of carnal spiritual warfare going on. When you are regenerated, when you have a revelation of being God's Christ on this earth, you don't just have the knowledge, but you have the revelation. The Christ within you begins to stir and awake. Do you think that the power of darkness could possibly have any power over you? It's only when you're walking in a human mentality. It's only when you feel weak and your inabilities and your failures you think keep you in bondage. Well, the new creation man does not know what bondage is. In fact, again, 1 John says, he that is born of God cannot commit sin. It's impossible for him to sin because the seed of God remains in him. The seed of God is that incorruptible, indestructible new creation man or woman on the inside of you. It is impossible for that person to sin, and that is your true nature. That is your true identity. So Paul says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And now he tells you how to do it. Casting down imaginations, and that word imagination should really be reasonings. Casting down reasonings and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. That is the simplest thing you'll ever do, and it'll also be the hardest. What Paul is simply telling you, every time a thought enters into your mind that is against the knowledge of God, anytime a thought would enter your mind to make you think that you are not going to make it, you're not who you claim to be, or, you know, perhaps a habit in your life that keeps pulling you down, you must cast down every imagination, every reasoning, every thought that would come against the knowledge of you being a new creation man. And we must do that not only for ourselves, but for everyone. That's what Paul meant when he said, henceforth we know no man after the flesh. We must go to God for a revelation of Christ in humanity. We must have the ability to look beyond the natural and see that in the earthen vessel is the treasure of God. You listen, I don't care how earthy you are. Watchman Nee said this many years ago. It doesn't matter how earthy you are. I don't care how far away from God you have walked, whether willful or not. It does not matter. You have a treasure within you. Within the deepest recesses of your being, there is the seed of God. And it's called the human spirit. And that's why in the Gospel of John it says that Jesus is the true light that lights every man that comes into the world. And then Proverbs 20, about 27 says, the spirit of man is the candle or the light of the Lord. When you become regenerated, Paul says, he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Oh, how we need a revelation of that. You think it. The moment your spirit is quickened by God, the moment his spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are a child of God, at that very instant, his spirit and your spirit is one spirit. You cannot divide the two. And so the key is learning how to live out from that spirit that has been regenerated and made in the likeness of God. I wish I could teach you how to do it. These things cannot be taught. But each man and woman must spend the time to have God unveil their eyes to the truth of these words. You may have never heard anything like this. But John says in 1 John 2:20, he says, you have an anointing and you know all things. Well, right away, if we get into the human reasoning and carnal understanding, we can't agree with that. You telling me I know all things? Absolutely. You may not know them with this human reasoning, religious mind, but you have a spirit that has been quickened, regenerated, and made into the image of God. And in your spirit, in the deepest recesses of your being, you know all things. And that's why sometimes when you hear someone speak, your mind will say no, your religious leaders will say no, religion will tell you no, but there's something within you that's resonating. And that's called the Spirit of God. And he's remembering. You're stirring up the remembrance. That's what we're doing today. We're simply not teaching you, but we're stirring up your spirit. And your spirit knows truth. And if you will learn to follow that sense, that agreement that's in your spirit, and turn off your mind, you will begin to walk in the kingdom of God. The greatest hindrance to you progressing in God is listening to the religious leaders of our day. It's the greatest hindrance. Because you have a spirit, that spirit has been regenerated, and that spirit, John says, the anointing which you have received of him abides in you, and you do not need a man to teach you. If you will listen to that anointing, if you will follow your heart in these matters, you will find yourself walking in the kingdom of God. You will find that resurrected, transcendent, overcoming life bursting forth within the center of your being and bringing to you all of those things that you've struggled so hard to try to obtain in the flesh. We still try to overcome with this flesh. We still think that this flesh is going to get better. Yet the scriptures themselves say flesh and blood cannot enter into the kingdom of God. It's corrupt. I'm not saying this flesh, this body, that's not what I'm talking about. It's the fleshy carnal thinking. You have an anointing and you know all things. And if you will learn to do as we just read here, cast down every thought that comes against the knowledge of God. Every thought that would tell you that you can't make it. Every thought that would tell you this habit has had you so long you will never overcome. Well, you can agree with that, but yet at the same time you can say, ah, I will not overcome with this struggling human flesh. But I have news for you. I am a spiritual being. I have been regenerated and created in the very image of God. Within the deepest recesses of my being, there dwells the Son of God, the righteousness of God, the overcoming power of God, and that will overcome. See, that's why Paul said, if you, through the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the flesh, you'll live. Has nothing to do with you trying with your carnal human reasoning. It has nothing to do with your desire to overcome. It has everything to do with you beginning to awaken to your true spiritual nature and identity. Again, that's why Paul said, henceforth, we should not know any man after the flesh. Because all of us, according to the flesh, living from a human mentality, we cannot know each other according to that man. We must know each other according to the truth of God's word. And you know, and that's why today we can help so many people, because we don't look at them according to the flesh. You can be so captured by the habit of alcoholism or anything that you want to name. But if I can make you understand, if I, by the Spirit, minister unto you and begin to quicken and stir up your spirit within you, if I can minister the hope to you and cause you to begin to seek God for a revelation of His Spirit within you, His Spirit within you will begin to rise and put down everything in your life that's not according to godliness. And it won't be hard for you to do it. Do you think the Spirit of God is hard for anyone, anything? Nothing can stand in the presence and power of God. I've shared this weekend that, you know, we have known for 2,000 years, God's people, that we have Jesus living in us. Yet, we know that, but we don't really know that. If we did, how could we be where we are today? The only reason that we have not progressed experientially is because we have not learned how to simply believe, and we have not been in the presence of God long enough, some of us, for Him to unveil us and reveal the truth to us. You know, I was so hungry for God that I would go to the library and I'd read all the books on religion. I'm talking about, you know, even when I was young. And I learned so much. I was told as a child that if you wanted to get close to God, you need to know Luther's catechism. I memorized Luther's catechism. Later on, I was told, well, if you really want to get close to God, you need to know the Word. And I literally memorized books of the Bible. I could quote to you the book of Ephesians. I cannot say that that has not been a valuable tool, but I could quote the book of Ephesians to you and had no experience of it. You see, we've still been duped into thinking that if we study hard enough, if we pray long enough, if we maybe throw some fasting in and some witnessing, that we're going to make it. It has absolutely nothing at all to do with it. You need the same revelation that the Apostle Paul had. He said, when it pleased God to reveal His Son in me, then I went. And we don't have to feel bad, because I'll tell you, 99% of the Christians on the earth today have not had this revelation that I'm talking about. I'm not saying they don't want it, that they don't try everything within their power to get it, but they don't have it. Why? Because they have not learned how to accept the righteousness that Jesus has provided. Just like the Jews, we go about trying to establish our own righteousness to make us feel acceptable to God. When you miss God, when a habit comes up in your life, and or whatever it is, you miss God, you sin, you make a mistake, you go out and do something willfully that you shouldn't, that should not be a surprise to you. That's what the flesh does. That's what a human being does, even a good human being that is trying to be godly. Because again, we're feeding from that wrong tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Therefore, when we're evil or we're bad, we feel bad. Do you know what someone does who's living out of the abundance of his life? Someone who is living by what we call the tree of life? Do you know what happens if my flesh even today would get the best of me and I would fall into a sin or I would do no regard whatever? Do you know what my reaction to that is today? I am so grateful and I am so thankful that I know that I've been redeemed and forgiven. I know that God loves me not because I'm good, but because I have the seed of his life on the inside of me. And if I sin, if I miss God, if I choose things willfully that I shouldn't, it just says to me, Gary, you've got a long way to go, but you're okay. Because I'm seeking after God. And I don't care if you fall 1,000 times a day, you can be grateful and thankful for the blood of Jesus Christ. I shared this weekend that our Christian teachers have told us for 2,000 years that Jesus paid the penalty for your sin. Haven't we been told that? That on the cross, the judgment, your judgment, my judgment, has taken place. He suffered the penalty for my sin. Isn't that what they teach? Well, if it's true, how can he hold me accountable for it? If I'm held accountable for my condition, if I have to pay the penalty for my mistakes and my sin, then why did Jesus die? I don't need to feel guilty and condemned when I sin. I need to be grateful for Calvary, knowing that the price has been paid. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not holding them accountable for their sins. And there are many teachers today saying this is a false gospel. How can it be when it's in the scripture? How can it be false? You know what's, it's the religious thinking. It's the religious mentality. The greatest prison, the greatest bondage in all of this earth is the human mind, the human religious mind. The cross of Calvary says not guilty. And you are not guilty because Adam plunged you into this carnal realm. For by one man, sin entered into the world. Had nothing to do with you. But because of that one man's disobedience, all of us are born with this carnal human reasoning mind. So why should you be held accountable for something you inherited from your ancestor? Especially when God has shown to you beyond a shadow of a doubt that the guilt for that transgression, the judgment, has already been met. You see, when you hold yourself guilty, you do despite to the Spirit of grace. Because he says, not guilty. And the only reason that you feel guilty is because you're still trying to establish your own righteousness in your mind before God. And as long as you continue to do that, you'll always feel unworthy and unrighteous. We need to simply accept what the scriptures tell us that Jesus has done for us. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed the transgressions of my people. And the reason God's people are not the most joyous and happy people on the earth today is they do not simply believe those words. They still feel guilty for their sin. They love God, but they feel guilty for their sin. And you should be thankful that even though there's still areas in your life that you cannot seem to overcome, that is why he died. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. Well, again, by one man sin entered into the world, and that is the Adamic man. We are born into this race, and we pick up this Adamic carnal consciousness by being born into this physical plane. And that's why Jesus said, I'm come to give you life, and more abundant life. A life that's far surpassing the human, carnal, religious life. He said, I am come that you might have life, and the word life is the Greek word zoe. He was simply saying, I'm here to dispense my life into you. That's why in John 20:22, on the day of resurrection, Jesus came and it said he breathed on his disciples and he said, receive ye the Holy Spirit. At that very moment, their spirit on the inside of them was quickened and made alive. And they began to walk then in the reality of that new creation man. They didn't have all the religious teachings that we had then. They just learned to follow that new anointing, that spirit that was within them, and they turned the world upside down. It was a few years later that all the religious teaching come in with all of the confusion. So in Adam all die. But it says, in Christ shall all be made alive. So again, here's these two men again on the earth today, Adam and Christ. In Adam, all are dead. And as long as you live out from this human, carnal reasoning, this religious mind of good and evil, but in Christ, all shall be made alive. Where is Christ? Well, we know, at least intellectually, that Christ is within us. So as all died in Adam, all are made alive in Christ. He is a true light which lights every man that comes into the world. And again, your spirit is the light of the world. Jesus told his disciples, did he not? You are the light of the world. You see, Jesus did not minister to the carnal man. He ministered to the spiritual man. And that's why he could look at his disciples and tell them, you are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. And it's almost impossible for us to believe that today because we've had 2,000 years of religious failure. You tell me I'm the light of the world, the way I live? I don't think so. You have to change that way of thinking. And you have to realize that your experience cannot nullify the Word of God unless you let it. We must begin to rise above human thinking and human limitations. Because that life on the inside of you that has been regenerated has no limitation. And that life, as you begin to accept what you have been freely given, you begin to accept that and begin to focus on that. And you begin to cast down all those reasonings in your mind that come against that reality. And you will begin to walk in the kingdom of God. You know, Jesus never really taught how to live in the kingdom, but he did reveal to you what it was like if you walked in the kingdom. And you can find that in Matthew chapter 5. He didn't say that this so-called Sermon on the Mount was a goal that you must try to reach for. He never taught it like that. He just simply said, if you're living in the kingdom, this is the way you'll be. And if this is not the way you are, then you're not living in the kingdom. He said, if you're living in the kingdom, this will be your experience. You will love your enemies. Okay? Now that's an impossible situation for one who is living from the religious carnal mentality. I don't care if you've been born again, love God, go to church, speak in tongues, and pray all the time. If you are not living in the kingdom of God, you will not love your enemies. It doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean that you won't be with God. It simply means that you're missing something here. If someone despitefully uses you and there's something rises up in you in resentment, it's a sure sign that you are not living in the kingdom of God. But neither should you feel condemned. You should simply recognize, I'm missing it here, and turn towards God and begin to commune with God, begin to accept the forgiveness of God. I'll never forget how I dealt with horrible resentment towards some people, because I began to realize what Jesus was saying. And I could look at my experience and tell that I was not living in the kingdom of God, yet I knew it was available. And I discovered that my feelings cannot keep me away from progressing in God. So when resentment would rise up in me, I would simply look at that and say, God, I choose to forgive this person. I do not agree. I have these feelings. I can't help it, but I don't agree with them. Lord, I ask you by the power of your Spirit, that your Spirit would burn within my consciousness. Lord, that you would burn out everything in my being that's not according to godliness. And I'd deal with God, and I would speak to God, and I would day after day, month after month, whatever it took. Never did I fall under condemnation, and today never would I fall under condemnation if my flesh rises up, because I don't expect anything out of my flesh but to do what it always has done, and that's bring me into captivity to the law of sin and death. But you see, I've discovered there's another law on the inside of me, and it's called the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And as I learn how to exercise my spiritual man and begin to cast down those reasonings and those thoughts that would try to hold me into captivity, I find myself spontaneously walking in the kingdom of God. And all of those who are around me today, my wife and those who work with me, will tell you, can testify, that never do I get angry when someone does me wrong. You can do hurtful things to me, and within me rises the compassion of God. This is not a normal reaction. See, this is what God will do for everyone who will simply learn to accept the provision that He has given to you. Learn to accept yourself as God accepts you. Do you think that God, when He called you, that He would not know where you were right today? Perhaps you've been a Christian for 30 years and you've been a failure. You see, your steps have been directed by the Lord all of your life. And you've had to go through many, many experiences, some of them very hurtful, to bring you to the point where you're ready to try something that really works. We need to be brought to the point where we totally and utterly have no confidence in the flesh to be like God. And we all should be there, because if you're like me, I had tried for years to be what I knew a Christian should be, and I never made it by trying. I made it by having a revelation that I was already in the kingdom of God. For you see, Paul says that you have been transferred out of the kingdom of darkness and placed into the kingdom of God's Son. It's not something you have to work for, strive for, pray for, or do for. It's already been done for you. But you see, this is a spiritual truth. We've been trying to grasp these things with our religious mind and trying to make them work, and they don't work that way. Again, the natural man receives not the things of God for their foolishness unto him. You see, if you're a very religious person, my message is crazy. It's foolishness to you. I said last night, we need to be like the man that went to Jesus and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. You see, all of us really believe because we have within us the Spirit that has been regenerated in the deepest recesses of your being. You really do believe this message, but your mind gets in the way. And your mind will hold you in the prison of failure because you experience failure all your life. So why would you expect it to be any different? And it won't be until you change your mind about who you are. When you begin to change your mind about who you are and begin to stand in the reality of who God has made you to be, not who you will become, but who you are. Again, I'll remind you, Paul said, you are complete in Him. And that completeness is not in the flesh. That completeness is not in the human understanding. That completeness is in your human spirit. You are whole, healthy, whole, wonderful, loving, compassionate being within your spirit. And that's who the message of the gospel is too. See, the gospel of God is the power of God to deliver you from this human mentality. And it's not hard. I probably said 2 dozen times this weekend, Hebrews chapter 4 says, we who believe enter into rest. Not we who have done all of these things like we've done. It's not those who pray hard and study hard and memorize the Bible hard. You don't enter into rest that way. You enter into rest. Those who believe enter into rest, knowing that the works were finished from the foundation of the world. You can find that in Hebrews chapter 4. You can rest if you know that you are complete in Him and stop expecting something better out of your flesh. Because His life in you, the Spirit of God in you, that resurrected, transcendent, glorious life within you begins to arise and swallow up death. And the stronger your spiritual man becomes, the more you will see all of the fleshy things just fall away. Like life will push dead leaves off of a tree. You don't have to try. You just simply are thankful to God. Thank God for Calvary. Thank God, no matter how bad my flesh is, I can look away to the cross and I can see that there He died and there my judgment was placed upon Him. He was wounded for my transgressions. We have been lied to by our religious teachers. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquity. The chastisement of my peace was upon Him. And He has set me free. He has not done anything for my carnal man. He has done everything for the seed of God that's on the inside of me. And that is who I am. That's why we must stop identifying with the carnal side of us. We are not carnal human beings any longer. We have been regenerated by the Spirit of God. And we are sons and daughters of God on this earth. Many people today are waiting for the manifestations of the Son of God. And I want to tell you something, they're here. And just like in the days of old, they would look at Jesus and see nothing but a mere man. Don't make that same mistake today. Don't wait to see something in the future. Because if you will begin to take these simple words from this morning and you begin to focus your being on your new creation man, you will soon, if not now, you will soon begin to express the life of God on this earth. You will very quickly find yourself beginning to be a manifested son or daughter of God. And you don't have to wait for it. And when we as God's corporate people begin to walk in the light and the revelation of this word, we will soon see all of creation begin to bow the knee. Because there is a race of people, there is a Melchizedek priesthood arising on the earth today who has nothing but compassion and love for God's people and well for the people of the world. We have no condemnation. We have no guilt trips. We have no selfish motives. We simply want to dispense the life of God in His creation. And then as Paul told the Romans, that all of creation, not just a few good people, but all of creation will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. That's for everyone. That's not for those who have learned how to choose the good over the evil. It's not for those who pray hard every day and read their Bible. No, it's for all of creation shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. You see, the gospel is really good news. The gospel does not have any bad news. The gospel says, peace on earth, goodwill toward all men. Think of a group of people on the earth today who would love their enemies, who would love the prostitutes and the homosexual. That's what's happening. When you realize that the human race, no matter how bad they are simply acting out of a life that they've inherited. But we're here to tell them about another life. We're here to tell them about another experience. We're here to tell them that in the deepest recesses of your being, you have a spirit. And by the very words that we speak of spirit and life, it will get on the inside of you and create within you that hunger and that desire for God that will rise you above the dust of your human thinking and cause you to walk in the kingdom of God on this earth today. You won't stay in your bondage when you begin to have an understanding. You will only stay in your bondage until whatever time it takes to renew your mind to the new creation, man or woman on the inside of you. Good news of the gospel. There is no bad news. Even if you're a bad person, I don't have any bad news for you. If you're one who is backslidden and running away from God, I don't have any bad news for you. Because I will guarantee you that if you run away from God, He is there ahead of you, beginning to put up barriers, beginning to raise up circumstances, beginning to throw you in the fires of tribulation, or whatever it takes to make you realize that you belong to Him. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Run from Him all you want to. If you can do it, guarantee you He's directing your steps. Oh, I'm not saying that you won't go through some hurtful, horrible situations. But that's good news. Because God is not going to leave you alone until you bow the knee. And He's not doing it out of anger. He's doing it as a father would correct his children. There is no bad news in the gospel. It's good news. Peace on earth toward all men. Drop your swords. Learn to accept everyone right where they are and don't try to change them. Love them and minister to them without control. You see, if you can really minister by the Spirit of God, you don't need to control people. Men and pastors and leaders who control people do so because they do not trust in the ability of the Holy Spirit to lead people's lives. They have to do it for them. They don't really believe that everyone has an anointing and that anointing will teach them all things. The best thing you can do is stop going to the arm of flesh for your help. And realize that in the deepest recesses of your being, you have an anointing, and that anointing will teach you all things. And it's the truth. And it will lead you and guide you straightly into the kingdom of God. This concludes this message. For additional tape copies or for more information, contact Sigler Ministries, that's S-I-G-L-E-R Ministries, P.O. Box 26695, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27114. Or you may telephone us at 336-775-4930. Our web address is www.sigler.org. Our email address is orders@sigler.org. Our fax number, 336-775-4932. All of our tapes are distributed at no charge as finances permit. These messages may not be sold, but you may duplicate them freely for distribution.
I'll reconcile your heart. I'll give.